Hello again, and welcome to another episode in our series of podcasts, The Atlantic: Strife, Power, Beauty. Today we'll be talking with experts on slave revolts aboard slaving vessels during the era of the Atlantic slave trade. In particular, we'll be focusing on one such revolt, that of the Marlborough. Throughout the roughly 400 years of the slave trade, an estimated 12.4 million Africans were loaded onto European and American slavers. Only 10.6 million of those survived to disembark in the Americas. The Atlantic slave trade was nothing short of the most enduring, oppressive, and deadly forced migration in human history. It is only natural, then, that it generated a counteraction of equal proportion to its oppression. But the more we go on about numbers and statistics, the more we lose sight of the human component. Fortunately, we have with us here today Dr. Phil Kiefer, an expert on the history of one of the most exceptional revolts ever aboard a slave ship. Dr. Kiefer, welcome. Tell us about the Marlborough.
Thanks, Alex. The Bristol slaver Marlborough remains one of the most interesting episodes of the Atlantic slave trade. When the ship landed on the Bonny Coast in 1752, the sailors could not have imagined the fate of the voyage. As was typical practice on slavers, 28 Gold Coast slaves were unshackled and allowed on deck to help the sailors perform their duties. 3 days after departure from the coast, these privileged slaves noticed that only the captain and two sentries remained on deck, the rest of the crew having gone to the hold. They immediately seized the opportune moment, killed the sentries and dozens of other members of the crew, and seized control of the ship. Only the sailors who had climbed into the rigging escaped death. These sailors eventually surrendered. Some were executed, including Captain Cod, who the slaves dragged out from under a sail where he had been hiding, and the rest were ordered to sail back to the Bonny Coast. Around 270 Africans regained their freedom and returned to their native land. However, the story continues. The Gold Coast slaves decided to sail back to their native land rather than settle in an unfamiliar country. En route, another Bristol ship, the Hawk, spotted the Marlborough and quickly discovered that slaves controlled the ship. The Hawk attempted to retake the ship, but failed. The slaves made good use of the cannons and escaped, although most of the sailors on board managed to swim to the Hawk, where they soon lost sight of the Marlborough. Whatever happened to the 28 Gold Coast slaves, who led one of the most successful shipboard revolts in Atlantic history? Their fate remains a mystery.
Phil, if we don't know what happened to those slaves, how do we have any record at all of the events of the Marlborough?
Despite the fact that no one knows exactly what happened to those 28 Gold Coast slaves, numerous sailors managed to escape from the Marlborough to the Hawk, and based on their accounts, numerous articles were published in England's newspapers. It is primarily from those sources that historians today know about the fate of the Marlborough.
Thank you, Phil. That was most elucidating. I'm curious whether specific conditions were more conducive to revolt, and what precautions slave captains took against revolts. Dr. Demery Meeker is one of two experts we have on slave revolts with us here today. Dr. Meeker, what can you tell us about the conditions suitable for revolt, and the precautions taken by slave ship captains?
Thank you, Alex. There are many aspects that must be carefully thought out and planned by slaves for a successful revolt to occur on board a slave ship. The most common successful insurrections occurred while still on land or in proximity of Africa's coast. It made it much easier to revolt and escape when in view of or on land, otherwise the slaves would be left responsible to sail the ship back to their homeland, as was the case with the Marlborough. The captain and crew also played a crucial role in whether or not a revolt would be a success. If the captain were tyrannical and violent towards his slaves, they in turn would be more compelled to risk their lives to overthrow such an overbearing and vicious leader. The crew was responsible for constantly appearing as though they were as strong in their health as they were in their number. If the crew failed to do so, then that enabled the slaves to gain an upper hand as a majority, creating the circumstances for a successful revolt. Again, this is what happened in the case of the Marlborough, where the slaves took advantage of a moment when they were a majority on deck. These many opportunities proved to be highly favorable conditions that allowed for the success of the Marlborough's revolt. Well aware of the high percentage of attempted revolts along the Middle Passage, captains and their crews took many precautions to try and prevent any such insurrections from occurring. Many different torture and scare tactics were utilized during daily routines while on board in order to further repress the slaves. The captain would also select a few spies and informants from the slaves throughout the voyage who would prove their loyalty if bribed with presents and privileges. Another precaution that was widely carried out was to obtain as many slaves from different nationalities as possible. If this occurred, usually the language barrier was so drastic that it made it impossible for slaves to organize a revolt. This is proof alone as to why the Marlboro is such an interesting case study.
Thank you, Demi. Now I'm curious about the other side. Dr. Lucino, what can you tell us about the typical methods and consequences of these onboard rebellions?
The methods utilized in a revolt vary widely depending on the conditions as previously discussed by Dr. Meeker. Once this perfect storm of conditions was aligned, the slave captives had to act quickly to ensure their methods would be successful in taking control of the ship. On the Marlboro, regional differences were likely a factor in how and why the insurrection took place. The propensity of Gold Coast slaves to revolt was nearly twice as likely as any other region on the western coast. Interestingly enough, in the case of the Marlboro, the slaves instigating the revolt were from the Gold Coast, while the other 300 slaves were from Bonny, which, according to one slave trader, generally provided more peaceable slaves than other regions on the African coast. Generally, slaves used whatever they could get their hands on as weapons in a planned revolt. The slaves on board the Marlboro had to act quickly to overcome the crew and ensure that if they were to let any sailor survive, it would have to be a small and well-controlled group. Slave insurrections on the Atlantic had to be methodically planned. They were not a spur-of-the-moment occurrence, though the element of surprise was often used as a tactic to gain control of the ship. This is true again for the events that occurred on the Marlboro. The slaves took advantage of an opportune moment when they were allowed on deck without their chains. In the case of the Marlboro, the slaves used the tactic of fear to ensure they overpowered the crew. The slaves brutally killed and threw many of the crew overboard. After killing a substantial majority of the sailors, the slaves convinced the small remainder that they would be spared if they surrendered and aided the slaves in navigation. This fear tactic was instrumental in pressuring the remaining sailors to aid the slaves in their quest to return back to the West African coast. These 28 Gold Coast slaves had to maintain the upper hand, for if the slave insurrection failed, the retribution from the ship's crew was likely to be brutal.
Thank you, Katie. It seems, then, that the Marlboro is one fascinating example of successful rebellion against a massively oppressive system. In fact, the slaves turned the oppression on its head, using the intimidation tactics they had learned from their former captors to compel the living sailors to help navigate them back to Africa. It is the few moments like the success of the Marlboro Revolt to which we must look for inspiration in the 400-year tragedy of the slave trade. Well, that's all. This has been Alex Bloom, your host for The Atlantic. Strife, power, beauty. Until next time, so long.